A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Eruvin Membeis, Eruvin 42A, pagination page 83. We will start from the facing page, though, at the beginning of the perek. So we're on page 82, pagination Mem Aleph, Amud Beis, 41B. Towards the top of the page, about 10 lines down, the beginning of the new perek. Mi shehotzi'uhu nachrim, a person who was taken out of his tchum by non-Jews. The imagery would seem to be that a gang grabbed him, schlepped him to a different place, and the problem is that now he's out of his tchum. Baruch Hashem, it appears that they let him go, but where is he allowed to walk? He doesn't have his tchum. You'll remember the concept of tchum kicks in at the beginning of Shabbos. At the beginning of Shabbos, he had his tchum wherever it was by his home. Now he's been dumped into a new location, miles from his resting place. O ruach ra'a, or he left the tchum because of a bad spirit, mental illness. Now that all is well, but he's far away from his original tchum, technically, let's go through the logic, he doesn't have a tchum. He doesn't have a location, because the location that he had is not where he is, and the location where he is not available to him, because that's not the tchum that he acquired at the beginning of Shabbos. Hichziruhu, but if he was returned, Ki'ilu lo yatza, it's as if he never left. And he's able to walk the entire city, that location he's entitled to, because that was his original place of dwelling. Now, the Mechaber, Shulchan Aruch, adds in not only the case of being removed by non-Jews or by mental illness, but also any example of shogeg or ones. If a person accidentally leaves, or leaves on purpose, or leaves by force, not on purpose. So that if you have a person who left the tchum on a Shabbos walk and didn't realize, and then wanders back in, that would be this case. Where he's back in the correct city of his dwelling, and he's good. Yeah.
But if he remembers out there, he's stuck.
If he remembers out there, right. So there's actually the consideration, should you inform him if you realize, or should you just coax him back into the tchum, and then inform him what's going on? If a Kohen is commenting, so it's similar to the case of a dead person in a building. Do you notify the Kohen while he's in his pajamas? Or do you convince him that there's something urgent that has to be attended to? You get him to get dressed, and then you inform him that there's a dead body in the building, and get him out. That's a classic, are you allowed to play tricks with the other person not knowing, because he's the one in violation, theoretically, and he's not in violation, because he doesn't know. Okay. Halichuhu li'ir acheres, if they brought him to a different city, nasnu b'diro basar, and they put him into an enclosure, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omrim, mahalich es kula, you're allowed to walk that entire enclosure, because the enclosure is classified as Dalet Amos, as his four Amos, his own location. It's an enclosure. So the enclosure is permitted. Mishneh Berurah mentions, the same is true, by an enclosure of an Eruv, which gives us enormous liberties. That means that if a person enters an area that's Mukaf, that's surrounded based on a city Eruv enclosure, Tzuras HaPesach, an upright, a crossbeam, an upright, so then that's considered an enclosure enough to allow him to walk that area. You have a person stranded outside the city and he walks into the city, whatever number of miles it takes him, but he parks his car Erev Shabbos and he walks. So, very nice, he got into the city, but now what do you do with the situation of Tchum? He doesn't have the entitlement to walk Tchum. So if you argue that he has the classification of Ones, because we didn't want him stranded on the side of the road. We wanted him to walk for safety reasons, as far as he could get into the city. So then you could argue that he's an Ones, and therefore he gets the entire enclosure of the Eruv, because that's the location that he was put, and that's really, that's our Mishnah, that he's included in the enclosure of the city. It's a very rich Mishnah. Hopefully we'll come back to some of it. Let's skip down to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Gimel Dvarim Ma'avirim Es Ha'adam Al Da'ad Tov Ve'Al Da'as Kono. The three things that put a person under such pressure that he'll do irrational things. Things that he doesn't agree, things that Hashem doesn't agree, whether they're mitzvahs or just irrational. What are the three things that put tremendous pressure on a person? Eluhein, Ovdei Kochavim. Cases, the description is of Akum putting pressure on him, and this is how we got onto the topic, because the Mishnah was describing that some gang took him from one place to the other. V'ruach ra, mental illness, Rachmana Litzlan, v'dikduke anius, and tremendous poverty. Three things. They do terrible things to a person. L'may nafkamina, what's the difference? L'miboy rachmi alayu, that you should daven, that these three things, because these are nisyonos, these are tests that are just very challenging. There's nothing that's beyond a person, but very challenging. The Gemara continues with what at first glance might seem to be a contradiction. Gimel ein roim p'nei gehenim. There are three things that are so impacting on the person that if you experience these, you won't see Gehenim. You already got your atonement. Elohein, these are they. Dikduke anius, tremendous poverty. V'cholim ayim, and a stomach ailment. V'haroshus, and Rashi says, people who are pressuring him, whatever the pressure, they're always on his case. Maybe he owes money to them.
Like a wife?
Oh, one second. V'yesh omrim, and some say, af mi sheyesh lo isha ra, person who has a bad wife. Now, remember, I mean, let's be clean here. Bad wife doesn't mean she disagrees with you. That may be good. Isha ra is an isha ra. We've heard about an isha ra. The Idach and the other opinion, Isha Ra Mitzvah Ligarsha. Get rid of her. If she's really bad, according to Gemara definition, she's bad, get rid of her. Divorce her. The Idach, Zimnin de Ksubasa Maruba, the Ksuba is too much. So she's Ra, but I can't pay the Ksuba money. Inami, or Isle Bonimina. He has children from her, he can't divorce her. That's not going to work. So he puts up with the Isha Ra'a. Okay, in any case, there are three things, and maybe a fourth, which are so impacting that if you do these, you won't get Gehenim. It almost sounds, you know, like maybe you should rejoice in the experience. L'may nafkamina. What difference does it make? The Gemara says, "Likibule me'avo." You should accept it lovingly. Okay? There seems to be a contradiction at first glance, because sometimes we learn Gemara is very primitive. Is it good? Is it bad? So it says that tremendous poverty is terrible. And then it says, oh, it's so terrible that you won't see Gehenim. So maybe you should rejoice in it. What are you davening not to have it? Maybe you should be happy with it. I don't know what my reaction is supposed to be. So the answer, I believe, is in a beautiful quip that a person who's depressed looks down. A person who's downtrodden looks up. A person is downtrodden, we're acknowledging that tremendous poverty is painful. but its result is that you daven to Hashem more heartfelt. No one is saying daven to Hashem for poverty. We're saying that it will result in great things. But part of the way it's resulting in great things is because you're davening for its removal. And therefore, there's really, it's on a very primitive level, there's a contradiction. There's no contradiction. You're davening for its removal, but you're accepting that it is from Hashem. Okay, we need to get on to today's daf. So let's move on to Erevin Mem Beis 42, pagination 83. And I am counting up from the bottom, probably about 20 lines. The first word on the line is Shabbos, and the second word is Ve'omar. And you need to look for both clues to find it correctly. Okay? Ve'omar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, and Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Shovas Bevika. You rested in a valley, in an open area, and here we have a good example of Nachrim, v'kifu Nachrim mechitza, and some non-Jews came on Shabbos, and they enclosed you with a wall. Very nice. What status does it have? How does it help you? Mahalech alpayim ama, so you're still only entitled to 2,000 ama, because tchum doesn't change. You rested where you rested in the beginning of Shabbos. Doesn't change the fact that they built something around you. Umetaltel bekula ayidei zurika. But you're allowed to move things in the entire enclosure by throwing them. You can't walk them. You can't lift it up, walk it to a different, because you're not allowed to walk that far. But you could throw it that far. Imagine if there was another person with you. You could throw it to him. Maybe
the enclosure
maybe,
is bigger than 2,000.
Yes, yes, the enclosure is bigger than 2,000. So you have this anomaly that it is enclosing you, so it's a Rishus HaYachid, but you're not allowed to walk the entire Rishus HaYachid because this enclosure wasn't there at the time that you acquired your Shavisa, your location for Shabbos. So there is an additional question here, whether you can carry at all the entire 2,000 amma, and that seems to be a machlokas Ramah and Mishneh Berurah, which maybe we'll get to at a different time. But that's a positive example. We started with the Mishnah that this gang is carrying you out of your location and you're left with nothing. So over here, we have the consideration that this group of people is enclosing you on Shabbos, and a discussion of what kind of benefit it might have for you. Yashar Koach, have a great day.